days' work, gleaned from the coast of the barren northeast waters. Abrook sat on a fallen pine, sensing his father's weariness. Stug climbed up behind him and began gently rubbing his brow. Abrook relaxed, sighing gratefully.
That's nice. I was beginning to think that strap would cut the top off my skull. Oh, where'd I be then?
Stug giggled.
With a half of a head, silly old father.
The sea otter cautioned his son.
Hush now, not so loud. There might be coast raiders about. They'd cut the tops off nice skulls just to watch us die.
Wide-eyed, Stug crouched down against his father, speaking in a hushed whisper.
Mama says coaster raiders be naughty vermin.
His father pushed dry pine needles into a small heap, shaking his head grimly.
Naughty ain't the word for that, scum. They're evil, cold-blooded murderers. Cruelty is just fun to the likes of them. Right, young'un, I suppose you're hungry now.
Nodding eagerly, Stug whispered.
I'm starfished.
Abrook chuckled. Starfished was a word all the young ones used, a cross twixt starving and famished. He patted Stug's head fondly.
Nothing worse than a starfished otter. You stay here. Keep your eyes and ears open and lay low. I'll go and find us a snug berth for the night.
He pulled a sack from under his cloak, tossing it to his son.
Sort through the rest of those rations and see what you want for supper. I'll be back soon.
Abrook knew the woods well. He recalled a spot not too far off. It was a good dry place, sheltered by a rock ledge. Silent as a night breeze, he weaved his way through the dark, twisted trees, straight to the exact location. He had camped there before. Halting slightly short of his destination, he paused. Something did not feel quite right about the area. Abrook sniffed the air and listened carefully, his animal instinct aroused. He caught the faint sound of ragged breathing. Drawing his long dagger, he crept forward, peering keenly into the shadows, his neck hairs bristling. For supper, Stug had selected 2 flat loaves, some of his mama's apple and blackberry preserve, and their last flask of plum cordial. If his father lit a fire, they could make toasted preserve sandwiches and warm cordial. The young otter was a pretty fair cook, often having helped his mama to prepare meals. There was not much else to do but wait in silence for his father's return. Stug set out the food and sat next to the basket of supplies. Abrook came speeding out of the darkness to his son's side. Crouching beside Stug, he gripped his paws tightly. The sea otter's voice was urgent and breathless from running.
Listen carefully, little mate. Could you find your way back home to our hall on your own?
Stug was taken aback by the unusual request.
I think so. What's the matter, father?
Abrook gripped his son's paws tighter. His voice sounded harsh.
Answer me, yes or no. Could you find your way back home?
Stug had never seen his father like this. He nodded, his own voice sounding small and scared.
Yes, Stug knowed the way.
Abrook released the young otter's paws.
Good. Now here's what you must do, son. Find Sure Dog. Tell him to bring the crew to the spot by the rock ledge. He'll know where I mean. Say that they best bring rope, canvas and poles. Enough to make a stretcher to carry a wounded joint striped dog. That's if he's still alive when they reach here.
Words poured from Stug's mouth like running water.
A giant striped dog? A wounded one? I never see a giant striped dog afore. What happened? Will he get deaded?
Abrook grabbed Stug and shook him. Something he had never done before. He hissed at him through clenched teeth.
Shut your mouth, son. Don't stand here asking questions. Go now. Run. Don't stop for anything. The life of another creature depends on you. Go!
Young Stug took off like a mad beast, pine needles scattering from under his paws as he tore homeward through the night-time forest. Abrook watched until his son was out of sight, then gathered up their belongings and dashed back to the camp beneath the ledge. Swiftly, he heaped dry pine needles and cones with a few twigs. Using the steel of his knife blade against a chunk of flint, he soon had a small fire burning. It was sheltered by the overhanging rock and could not be seen from a reasonable distance. Abrook viewed the scene around him. 2 badgers, one very old, the other about 2 seasons into his adult growth, lay stretched out, side by side. Small and grizzled, the oldest of the pair was obviously dead, slain by various weapon thrusts. As he turned to the younger badger, a brief glance at the churned-up ground and the blood-flecked rock confirmed the sea otter's suspicions. His jaw clenched angrily.
Dirty murdering raiders.
The younger badger was still alive. Abrook had seen one or two badgers in his lifetime, but not as big as this fellow. He was truly a giant, tall, deep of chest and broad-backed, with massive paws and powerfully muscled limbs. The sea otter winced as he inspected the fearsome wound to the badger's head. A long, jagged slash from ear tip to neck had ripped across the badger's face. Narrowly missing the eye, it had ploughed across the brow, through the wide-striped muzzle, across the jawline to the side of the creature's throat. Abrook, with only a limited knowledge of healing, staunched the blood with his cloak. Lifting the badger's head, he cradled it in his lap, dabbing away at the dreadful rift, and murmuring to the unconscious beast,
"Seasons assault me. 'Tis a miracle you're still alive. You must have a skull made of rock. I know you can't hear me, but don't worry, big fella. Our crew will do the best we can for you. There's one or two good healers at our hall."
Abrook sat rambling away to the senseless badger, knowing he could do little else until help arrived. It was close to midnight. Rain-laden wind hissed through the scrub forest, carrying with it salt spray from the thundering seas. Beside the guttering embers of his little fire, Abrook had dozed off, still holding the badger's head. At the front of the otter crew, Sure Dog pointed with his lantern, hurrying forward.
"There they are, mates!"
Little Stug reached his father first.
"I bring them, father!"
Abrook patted the youngster's paw.
"You're a good old scout. Oh, some beast kept me out from under this giant's head. My limbs are gone asleep on me from holding his weight."
Willing paws assisted him upright. Sure Dog shook his head as he viewed the injured badger.
"Great seasons! Look at the mess the poor creature's in! I fears there ain't much hope for him. I never set eyes on a wound bad as that."
Stug caught sight of his mother and tugged at her paw.
"Is a giant striped dog gonna die, Mama?"
Abrook's wife, Marinu, nodded at Sure Dog's grandma, Soch.
"Not if we can help it, Stug. Come on, crew, get some warm blankets around that badger and strap him to a stretcher. Easy now, don't jolt the poor beast too much."
Every beast knew that Marinu and Soch were the best healers in all the southeast. Stug grinned broadly. Now that he had succeeded in his mission, he proceeded to take charge of the situation, striding about and issuing orders.
"You won't hurt my mama? Pick that straight dog up. Careful."
Marinu was about to pull her son to one side when Abrook murmured to her,
"Let the young'un be. He did well tonight."
As the otter crew manoeuvred the huge badger onto the stretcher, Sure Dog gave a surprised bark.
"Blood and thunder, look at that!"
Beneath the injured creature, a mighty bow and a quiver of long arrows lay half-covered in the loose sand and pine needles. The badger had fallen backward upon the bow, his hefty bulk breaking the weapon in two pieces. One jagged half was stuck into his hip. Marinu halted the bearers until she and Soch had extracted the splintered yew wood. The big fellow grunted faintly as they padded and dressed the wound. Stug jumped up and down triumphantly.
"He's been alive! The striped dog making noise!"
Old Soch looped the birch bark quiver over Stug's head. It scraped the ground. The arrows were taller than he. Soch shooed the young one aside.
"Aye, mayhap he is. Now you carry those and stay out the way."
A score of otters bore the badger off on a litter of pine poles, sailcloth and rope, padded with dead grass and soft moss. Stug stayed behind with his father and Sure Dog to bury the dead badger. It was only a shallow grave, but they found slabs of rock to top it off with. Abrook wedged the two pieces of broken bow, with the string still joining them, into the foot of the grave. They would serve as a marker. All three sea otters gazed down at the sad resting place. Abrook shook his head.
"Poor old beast, we don't even know what name he went by. He looked weak and small. A badger that age should have spent..."